If you wish to follow along, turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. I am going to read the whole chapter of Jeremiah 29, but before I do, let me say that Jeremiah 29, 30, and 31 all go together. Mm-hmm. Remember, I mentioned to this you to this a few Sundays ago at least, maybe last Sunday, that much of Jeremiah are what we have are messages that Jeremiah either preached or letters that he wrote to people. And then we have them then later compiled together. But Jeremiah chapter 29, 30, and 31 all go together. I will read as a starting chapter 29. But before I do, let me say this. My message for this morning, the title of it is Jeremiah and Christ's First Advent. Now, I have something for you this morning. I pray, God, that God has something for you this morning. So let's begin reading Jeremiah chapter 29. Are you there? All right, Jeremiah 29. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So Jeremiah is writing this letter to the people in Babylon that had already been carried away with this one captivity. That is, after that Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. That's stated by Jeremiah in the chapter that I preached from last Sunday. Now it goes on, by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So who gets the credit for the captivity?
Exactly.
God does.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar was just God's pawn.
That's right.
Nebuchadnezzar was just the means that God used to accomplish His sovereign purpose.
Exactly.
But then listen to what Jeremiah tells the people in Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I, you see it again? Whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you, these are the people in Babylon now, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye have caused to be dreams.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them, and don't listen to yourself.
There you go.
You see it?
That's right.
That's what he's saying. That's applicable to every one of us today.
Right.
Don't listen to liars, and don't listen to yourself.
Exactly.
For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, and 70 years it would be.
Yes, sir.
There was no way to shorten that, and there was no way it would be lengthened.
That's right.
It was 70 years. Repentance and faith could not change that.
That's right.
God had decreed 70 years.
Amen.
And even rebellion in Babylon could not increase that.
Amen.
It was purposed 70 years. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And isn't that the good thing?
Amen.
We often forget about how God thinks toward us. He never forgets His thoughts toward us.
Amen.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. Think about it, my brothers and sisters, no matter what matter where God has taken you, whether it be as in the case of Peter, who got to preach on the day of Pentecost, and a few days after then, and it says thousands believed, right? Or whether it be Job sitting in his house offering sacrifices for his sons and daughters, fearing they may have offended God in some way, and God wipes out everything. Or whether it be because of your own sin.
That's right.
And disobedience. Somebody says that's license. You don't need license. I don't need license. We drink up iniquity like water.
You're right. Amen.
But God says thoughts of peace and not evil. He's writing this to the captives who are in captivity, Mason, because of their sin. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and I'm going to add this, and only then.
Exactly.
It's only after God visits someone that they will ever call upon Him.
Amen.
Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I, goodness Lord, and I will hearken. I will hearken unto you. So prayer is not useless.
No, sir.
If it's started by God.
Amen.
Visiting the soul, is it?
Amen.
Hmm? And ye shall seek me and find me. Isn't that good? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. And what does that mean? Let me just try to explain it, or not explain it, but give you just an example. In other words, when this is your primary goal.
There you go.
That's what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
When finding me is your primary goal, that's when you'll find me.
Amen.
Look. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. Not just Babylon. Not just Babylon. And I will bring you again into the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. That is, I will bring you back into the land of Israel.
Amen.
Because you have said, now look, he's still writing. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Now remember, Jeremiah's writing to these people in Babylon.
Yes, sir.
And he said to these people in Babylon, beware of these people that are prophesying to you where? In Babylon. And beware of your own ideas about this matter.
Uh-huh.
God's already given you His word about this matter.
Yep.
It's how it is. So he says, because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the King that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in the city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword and the famine, that is these false lying preachers, and people who pay heed to them.
Yes, sir.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs, remember that?
Yeah.
That cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, and with famine, and with pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed, all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations, whither I have driven them.
Amen.
Think about it, the same thing God did for some. Or I should change that. The one thing God did for all did not have the same result for all.
Exactly.
Did it?
There you go.
It didn't have the same result for all. Because, here it is, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Coliah, and of Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. Now he's telling some, you're in Babylon. Settle in for the long haul.
That's right.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
Settle in for the long. This will last 70 years.
Increase.
Make a life of it.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says? Now let me just say, this is not the message. No matter where you are, even if you're under the chastening hand of your God, settle in where you are and make a life of it.
Yeah.
Settle in where you are and make a life. Oh, if I just pray and repent and read the Bible more, this will go away. Not if God's determined it be there for the appointed time.
Yeah.
Settle in. Live there.
Yeah.
Look. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Oh, God, help me not to be a part of that group.
Exactly.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Help me not to be a part of that group. Because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and have spoken lying words in my name. And let me tell you something. False religion always leads to immorality and unrighteousness.
Right.
It just always does. It just all... ultimately, read Romans chapter 1. You'll find out where it ultimately takes men. Right to the bottom of degradation. Look. Lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. Nothing we do is in secret before God.
That's right.
Before God. Exactly. Thus, now, notice, this is still Jeremiah still writing, but now he's telling us something specifically that God told him to give here. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shimei, the Nehelamite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada, the priest. In other words, this man had wrote letters back to Jerusalem and said, God made me a priest, now y'all listen to me. God's made me the leader of worship. Now y'all listen to me. And God is speaking to Jeremiah and saying, it ain't so.
Exactly.
It ain't so. That ye should be officers in the house of the Lord for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet. This is what this guy was saying.
Yeah.
That thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. He's basically telling the people in Jerusalem, lock Jeremiah up and shut him up. Because I'm in charge of this thing.
That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. I'm in charge of this thing. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth with maketh himself a prophet to you? Do you see the villainy?
Yes, sir.
The wicked rebellion?
Exactly.
The hatred against God's will and God's word and God's prophet?
Yes, sir.
Listen, for therefore he sent unto us in Babylon. This guy's still talking about Jeremiah. Sent us saying, this captivity is long. What was he saying? No, it'll be alright. We'll get us out of this. It ain't gonna have to last no 70 years. This won't take long. When God says it takes 70 years, it'll take 70 years. No, no matter, repentance and faith and prayer will change that. God said it's going to be 70 years. This man wrote back to Jerusalem and said, who is this Jeremiah telling us to settle in for the long haul? We'll be all right. I'll get us out of this mess. That's what he's talking about. And look, this captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. I have no idea how Jeremiah felt when he heard this letter. But I guarantee you he was not happy.
That's exactly right.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shimei the Nehelamite, because that Shimei hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not. And he hath caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shimei, the Nehelamite, and his seed. What is his seed? Not just his children. What is the seed of a person? Those that follow after them. That's what he's talking about there. When you read the book of God, and I'm going to say something here, I don't mean to shock you. Don't take every word so literally. Does that shock you that I say that? Uh-huh. Don't take every word. It ain't talking about just his children.
Yeah.
Talk about everyone that listens to a person that is born of a lie is the seed of that lie.
Exactly.
And that's what he's talking about. And his seed, he shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord. Now this was a Jew, an Israelite. Well, I should say one who's of Judah. Because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord.
Amen.
Now, someone might say to me, well, what does that have to do with Christ's first advent? Nothing but mainly this. Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, Judea.
Yes, sir.
And those people must come back into the land.
Yes, sir.
For him to be born there.
Exactly.
And there's the one reason why.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about. The reason I know that is because if you go on to read chapter 30 and 31, you will see Jeremiah prophesying of this one very thing, the Messiah's first advent.
Yes, sir.
Now, seeing that chapter 29 is a part of all this, I must start off my message this way. Unbelief is hideous.
Yes, sir.
My unbelief and your unbelief.
Exactly.
It's hideous. You remember I preached a message to you a few Sundays ago. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's not an excuse.
Exactly.
That's just a fact of the way it is.
Yes, sir.
But unbelief is hideous.
That's right.
God's prophet declared, captivity is coming. Unbelief cried, if you'll look back at chapter 6, and verse 14, and chapter 8 and verse 11, unbelief cried, no, peace, peace.
Yeah.
There'll be no captivity. Everything will be okay. This is what unbelief does.
Yeah.
His prophet said, captivity's coming. This king, this evil, wicked ruler is going to overtake us because of our sin.
Yeah.
And false prophets and unbelief said, no, peace, peace. Captivity then begins. And God's prophet says, settle in for the long haul. It's going to take 70 years.
That's right.
What does unbelief say? No, it's not. It's brief.
Yeah.
It won't take that long. No need to build houses and plant gardens and have children. This won't take long.
Yeah.
Unbelief always looks to itself rather than to God.
Amen.
What does it say in chapter 29? And verse 32, therefore thus saith the Lord, these kind of people will not take part in the blessing with my people. Isn't that an amazing statement?
That's right.
You see it? Neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people.
Amen.
What's he stated there by default?
Exactly.
This man evidently ain't one of my people.
That's what he said.
Though he be a full-blooded Jew.
Exactly.
Though he be an Israelite or one from Judah.
That's right.
You see it? Even here, in the Old Testament, God always makes distinction between the reprobate and the elect, between the goats and between the sheep.
Yes, sir.
Divine judgment, now listen to me, divine judgments in circumstances never engender repentance and faith in man.
That's right.
You understand that now?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's easy to forget. How often have I seen someone? Remember, all of these people were professing faith in the living God. Right?
Yeah.
Even this one guy, Shimei, he's professing to be a priest
yeah.
of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God's called me to this office, he says.
Yeah.
And how many people have I looked at who have professed faith in the God of all glory? And in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I see them go through some trying circumstance. And I say, well, I hope God's going to straighten them out by that. It will not happen.
Right.
Trying circumstances. Even circumstances that are of judgment and pain never engender repentance and faith.
You're right.
You ever hope for that? Unbelief is only hardened in its resolve when things like this happen.
You're right.
Look at some of these people.
You're right.
What happened when the captivity then actually happened? Did it make them step back and say, "Whoa, we need to bow down before God"? No, it even raised up their ire even more.
Exactly.
This is what unbelief does. You remember the account of the Israelites when they first come up to the land and they sent the spies in?
Mm-hmm.
And God basically said, "Go in, take the land." They said, "We cannot.
Yeah.
There are giants in this land. We cannot do this." Right. God said, "All right, you're going back into the wilderness, and everybody above 20 years old is going to die in the wilderness." And they said, "Whoa, this is what unbelief does. Whoa, now wait a minute. We will go in." And they tried.
Yeah, they did.
And they were slaughtered because God had done said, "Fine, you won't go in, you'll die in the wilderness." Now when God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But this is the way unbelief. No matter what God says, it has to object to what God says.
Exactly.
And the same thing, there's not going to be a captivity. Oh, what if that captivity happened? Well, it won't be long.
Exactly.
Unbelief always has to go contrary to the word of the living God.
Yes, sir.
Unbelief is only hardened in its resolve. Repentance must be granted.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Yeah, repentance must be granted. Look at chapter 31. Look at verse 18 and 19. This is the same thing now. Jeremiah's still writing. "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, 'Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke.'" Think of it. Did the chastisement itself do anything? No, I'm just like a wild, like a wild bullock. Just kick and pull against it. But then look at what it says. "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned."
Amen.
Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
The yoke itself doesn't do it.
No.
It takes a sovereign act of God Himself.
Amen.
"Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented."
Amen.
"And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth."
Amen.
Faith is a sovereign act of God itself. Look at chapter 29, and we read it in verse 10 through 14, didn't we? "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place." All of that trouble didn't make a difference. What made a difference? 70 years had to elapse, then God would visit them.
Amen.
Do you see it? God would visit them. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end." Who's God's expected end?
Amen.
God's expected end. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek after me." And we've read it over and over and over. You see, repentance and faith are tried by troubles. They're manifest for what they truly are by troubles. True faith and true repentance will be manifest for what they truly are through trying, chastising circumstances. But trying, chastising circumstances never engender, they never create repentance and faith.
That's right.
Look at the world and the convulsions it goes through and the bad that happens to people. Does it force them to run to God in repentance and faith?
Exactly.
No, they'll shake their fist in the face of the living God.
Yeah.
Walk along and tell them, "This is the hand of God." And they'll say, "I hate that God then."
Oh, yeah.
Or they will say, "Well, no, that's not really God."
Exactly.
Any way to escape the truth of who God is and His Word.
You're right.
Again, I say, repentance and faith are tried by troubles. They're never, ever created by troubles. Oh, God, don't leave me to myself.
Exactly.
That's basically what it boils down to, ain't it?
Amen.
Oh, God, don't leave me to myself. And that's exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verses 27, 28, and 29. He basically said this, quoting from the Old Testament prophet. I think it may have been Isaiah. "Except God had left us a seed."
Yes, sir.
"A remnant." Yeah. "A small group compared to the whole."
Yeah.
If God hadn't have done that, we'd have been just like who? Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, that's what we are, apart from the grace of God.
Amen. Exactly.
Sodomites.
Yes, sir.
That's what we are in heart by nature.
Yes,
let us never forget where our blessings come from. Whatever the blessings may be,
amen,
they come from God. Repentance only comes and always comes in connection with the truth. That's what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. That God may give unto them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
Trouble will never make you repent. It may make you wish you hadn't done what you had done.
There you go. Exactly.
It may make you try to straighten up your life and live more morally. But it will. True repentance only comes and always comes in connection to the truth. Grant them repentance, what? To the acknowledging of the truth. All other repentance is futile.
Amen. That's right.
Is man-centered and man-ordained and has no honor toward God. Not only that, faith only comes and always comes in connection with the truth of the gospel. No one can believe on Christ until they first what? Hear.
That's right.
Until they first hear. Faith cometh. Cometh what? Cometh in whatever way.
Mm-hmm.
Cometh into being? No, God is the author of faith. But cometh into you. And don't ever, well, I believe that person's a believer, but they don't believe the gospel. Then they're not a believer.
Exactly. That's right.
That's just how simple it is. Because faith cometh by hearing.
Uh-huh.
And hearing how? By the word of God. And if you look at the context, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Jeremiah shows us this. Now, we're going to begin to look at it. I said this is Jeremiah and Christ's first advent. Christ, according to Jeremiah, Christ is the only hope. And he's always our hope of this. Look at chapter 30, the next thing. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. Now, if you'll read 30, 31, when you get to 32, you see the word came to Jeremiah, but you find it's a different time period. You see what I'm saying? So if you look back, you'll see chapter 29, 30, 31, all are connected. 32 then begins a different time frame. It's a different... I say a different message, it's a different event, a different circumstances. Look at what he says, chapter 30, 1 through 9. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Here's one of the reasons why we have this here today. You know?
Yes, sir.
For lo, the days come. So let us know it wasn't that day.
Exactly.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Let us know it wasn't that day. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it.
Amen.
Now, someone says, well, this must be the Babylonian captivity. Now, just hold tight a moment. Look, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Now these people are saying, we realize what God did to us because of our sins. But God did it for our good.
Amen.
Now look, ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas! For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it.
Amen.
Is that not what he's promising here through Jeremiah? Now here's the question. Now, maybe not everybody here. How many of you all was taught what the day of Jacob's trouble is? And the day of Jacob's trouble was the 7-year tribulation.
Oh yeah.
You want to raise your hand? I was when I was young. You know, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is the only place this statement is ever given.
Mm-hmm.
The time of Jacob's trouble. Mm-hmm. What is the time of that trouble? Now look what he says.
Yeah.
Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now I'm here, I hold to certain things when it comes to future events, but this book dictates to me what I believe about God and about anything, not some system that men come up with.
That's right.
And many of the commentaries who are premillennial will tell you the time of Jacob's trouble is the 7-year tribulation. That is not so. Now look, this is all, you read it, you go back and check all of this. for yourself later at home and read this. For it shall come to pass in that day. What day?
Yeah.
What day?
Yeah.
The day of Jacob's trouble.
That's what he's talking about.
Is that what it says? You don't need me to interpret that. Just look at what it says.
Yeah.
Right? For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck. What is this bondage that you're under?
Yeah.
And will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Who do you think he's talking about right there?
There you go. Exactly.
He's not talking about a resurrected or reincarnated David, the son of Jesse. He's talking about David's greater son, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Now look, I'm not going to read the rest of it because of time. Read the rest of it and start then. You'll see there's no breaks. This is still what God was telling Jeremiah and what Jeremiah wrote down for us in this passage. Look at chapter 31 and verse 1. At the same time.
There you go.
Is that what it says or does it not? And go back and look and see if I'm trying to twist you around to something. This ain't something new that I'm believing. This is just what the Word of God says. And God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah wrote it down, and we have it before us preserved in the English language. At the same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. What are they? The elect of God.
Yes, sir.
The elect of God. And here's the time frame. What was the time of Jacob's trouble? It was in particular that time when God left off giving them a prophet for almost 400 years.
That's right.
And they had settled in under Roman occupation, even in the promised land.
You're right.
That's the time of Jacob's trouble. And that is the very day in which God said he would deliver them. At the same time, God says, and then look at what he says. Look, in verse 14 of the same chapter, and I will satiate. That means just fill up to where you're so full, you just can't take no more. You ever sit down and eat so much that you almost felt sick because you ate so much? And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. This is what, still look at it, go back and read it. It's the same day, the same time of Jacob's trouble.
Yes, sir.
The time when God would set up David as their king.
Yeah.
Is that not, go back and read it.
Yeah.
And look, saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. What in the world is Jeremiah talking about? Turn to Matthew chapter 2 and we will read the time frame. Matthew chapter 2. I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, in this small group, let us bow to thus saith the Lord and nothing else. Whether we can make it all fit in a nice little package, that's not the point. The point is to look at every passage of Scripture and take it from God as God said it. And look at what it says. Here it is. Matthew chapter 2, and look at verse 16. The next few verses. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. You remember what happened there, don't you? Those wise men came to Herod and said, we've seen his star in the east.
Yeah.
We've come to worship him.
Yeah.
And then they were warned in a dream that this guy's not for this man's good. This king here, he's not looking for his good.
Exactly.
They were warned to go out another way. When he see was mocked, he was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. God sent them people right back to the land, and guess what happened?
Yeah.
Several hundred years later,
yep,
a bunch of their little babies were slaughtered by this one hateful, cruel, wicked man.
That's right.
Yes or no?
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Look, and in all the coasts thereof,
yeah,
from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, then was full field.
That's right.
Is that not what this is? Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and he quotes that very verse.
That's right.
Jeremiah was preaching the coming, the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
Christ alone always satiates true need. And that's it. He's the one that will fill your soul with fatness. Well, what about the priests? What about this? There were priests there. One of them held him in his arms.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Yes, sir.
8 days old when he came to be circumcised, and he held him in his arms, and he said, Lord, now I can depart.
Amen.
I've seen yourself. He was holding David, Joe,
yes,
in his arms. God's greater Son.
Amen.
God's only begotten Son. And that's the exact meaning. He says it was fulfilled.
Amen.
That's the time frame.
Yep.
That's the period. So you have anybody else come up with those little catchphrases as I warned you about last Sunday? Well, the time of Jacob's trouble, you know automatically if they say it's any other time than Christ's first advent, they have no idea what they're talking about. They're following a system, not the Word of God. Go back and read it for yourself. You see, Christ brought in the new covenant.
Amen.
Look at chapter 31. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 31. Still a part of this same thing. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. After what days? When the covenant is established.
Yes, sir.
Right? I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And the amazing thing is, the Apostle Paul comes along, and in the book of Hebrews, quotes that almost word for word.
Yes, sir.
And he says, Christ is the mediator, not shall be.
That's right.
God is saving.
Yeah.
No, let me stop. God has saved and is saving Judah and Israel. And he done it through the work of his Son when he came to this world to die as the sacrifice for sins.
Amen.
Yeah. That's salvation.
Yes, sir.
Any other salvation look for is not the promise of God.
You're right.
Christ alone brought in the new covenant. And the apostle's clear about that. Go back and read it sometime. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Not only that, but Jeremiah says Christ is the hope of all of God's seed.
Yes,
look at chapter 31 again. And look at verse 35. Thus saith the Lord. Now he's almost ready to wind this thing down. We're getting right up next to chapter 32 now. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. And you think about this, how accurate this was, that stars and the moon and gravity and all of that affects the waves of the sea. Think about it. The God who created this world knew that way back then, Mac.
Exactly.
You know, gave that little tidbit to Jeremiah way back then. But this book ain't a book about science. It's a book about something far greater. Look, the Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, all these people said, oh, this is going to happen. Calamity's going to fall. The earth's going to cease. Not until God Almighty wraps this thing up, it won't.
That's right.
Now you mark it down.
Amen.
I don't care how many Valdez fields there are. And I'm not saying we ought to try to accomplish some. But it doesn't matter. It's not going to thwart God's purpose.
Amen.
If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Yeah, there you go.
Now someone says, but wait a minute, a nation? Yeah, what kind of that? a spiritual nation.
That's right.
A holy people. A peculiar people. Natural Israel did not seek after the truth of the Messiah, and they are cast off. Paul even says the unbeliever, individual unbelieving Jews are broke off.
That's what it says.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Go back and read Romans chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
The nation that God loves is the nation of His elect.
Amen.
It's the nation of His elect, and Israel still is a nation before Him. It didn't take 1949 for it to happen.
That's exactly right.
His nation was alive and well when Jesus Christ came the first time because He saved them.
Amen.
And He satiated their soul, began to satiate their souls with the blessings of His grace.
Yes,
and He's been doing it ever since. And we Gentiles, a bunch of wild olive branches, guess what happens when we, by the grace of God, believe? He grafts us into that.
Yes,
turn to Romans chapter 11, and I want to read just this one verse. Oh, God, help us to concentrate on these things and not other things. Listen to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Look at what it says in verse 16. And you go back and read it. Who's he talking about? Israel.
Yes, sir.
But you'll find out that, you know, what did Israel do? There's a remnant.
Yeah.
That's who true Israel is.
Yes,
the remnant. Now let me tell you, all millennials, post-millennials, and pre-millennials, all of them, a lot of them rather, still get it wrong when it comes to this. They talk about an elect within an elect. That's why I mentioned it to you last Sunday. It's not an elect within the elect. True Israel are the elect of God.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. The remnant are the elect, and the elect are God's nation.
Now
look at what it says, Romans 11, verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, and it is, the lump is also holy.
Mm-hmm.
And if the root be holy, so are the branches.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. As I told you last Sunday, every Jew had great and high privileges.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And every church member who's under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, even today, has great privileges. But that doesn't guarantee they're one of God's elect.
Yeah, that's it.
Because look,
Amen.
And to some of the branches, now they were holy.
Yeah.
They were holy. Holy, what's set apart by God. Had special privileges.
Yes,
that's what he's talking about. Same thing he is meaning when he says if a woman's a believer and she has an unbelieving husband and if that child be born to a believer and an unbeliever, he said, your children are still holy. Well, it doesn't mean they're accepted of the Lord. It means they're not bastards.
Exactly.
That's what he's talking about. They're not illegitimate.
Exactly.
And look at it. And if some of the branches be broken off, and they were, he tells us that.
Yes, sir.
Because of unbelief. And thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. And look at that last phrase.
Yeah.
And with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree.
Amen. Mm.
And he goes on, don't take this for granted.
Exactly.
That's
it. Yeah.
Don't be high-minded. Yeah. Don't take this for granted. You see why? Why is it that like unbelieving Israel and Judah and Jerusalem of old, men always reject God's word and wanted to put it as some past thing or some future thing? You ever noticed that? You get to some of these passages, especially a bunch of them in the Old Testament. Well, that talks about the millennial kingdom. Who said so?
Yeah.
I'm not denying a millennial kingdom. I'm just saying, who said so?
You're right.
Who made them the priest and the prophet and the king? Take God's word for what it says. It's there in black and white.
Amen.
It's God opened my eyes and helped me to crush my prejudices before your word.
Yeah.
And this thing will begin to open up for you.
Yes,
it ain't about having a little slip of paper and having everything in its proper order. It's about bowing down to the truth of God. And when you do, He'll give you comfort.
Yes, sir.
He'll satiate your soul.
He'll
allow you to enjoy the root and the fatness of the olive tree.
Amen.
You see, is Christ King? Matthew 2 and 2 says He was. Says He was born King of the Jews.
Amen.
He ain't got to come back to be King.
That's right.
He was born King of the Jews.
Yeah.
Amen. Even Nathaniel said that. You're the king of Israel. Look at it, John 1:49. And then when you get to John chapter 19, verse 15, what did the rebellious choose? The bad figs. What were they crying?
Yeah.
We have no king but Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. You see the difference? You see the difference? Oh, my brothers and sisters, I don't care if you... I'm glad if you believe in premillennialism. If you don't, you're wrong. But let me tell you something. Don't let your premillennialism dictate what you believe about God's Word.
Exactly.
Take the Word for what it says, because you'll lose out on the experienced blessings when you try to make it fit your own ideas.
Exactly.
Christ is King. So let us what? Declare it!
Amen.
He's King now.
Yes, sir.
He's King now. Somebody said, we've got to sit on David's throne. He already said David's going to come. Didn't that Jeremiah said David will be their king?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Why do we pick and choose, even us premillennials, when we want to be a little symbolic and not be symbolic?
There you go.
Think about that for a while, folks. Mm-hmm. Because it fits our system. We'll pick and choose because it fits your system. Yeah. No, look at what the Word of God says and take an overall view of everything. Mm-hmm. Don't try to pigeonhole anything to make it fit what you are. Don't, Jeremiah warned him, don't think about your own dreams.
Yeah.
Don't think about your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Is Christ mediator of the new covenant? Hebrews 12 says it says he is. I want to read this. I know I'm going a little long, but we'll eat here in a moment. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 22. Turn to it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Now, the writer is writing to Hebrews.
Yes, sir.
Right? He's writing to Jewish believers.
Yes, sir.
But I know, according to the Apostle Paul, I'm a part of that if I've been grafted in.
Oh,
am I not? So look, but ye are coming to Mount Zion. Really? I've never been over yonder. Is he talking about that Jerusalem which is below? No. You know what the Scripture calls that Jerusalem now which is below? Sodom and Gomorrah, where our Lord was crucified.
Yeah.
Think about that. Isn't it amazing how you got these premillennials running around talking about Jesus Christ got to be in the temple? One of these days, sit upon David's throne in the palace one of these days. Who is the one that the Apostle Paul says is going to sit in the temple?
Yeah.
The Antichrist.
Yeah. That's what it says.
Yeah. Isn't that what it says? It actually says that.
Yeah.
He'll sit himself in the temple and he'll act like he's God.
That's exactly right.
And all of these so-called premillennials that believe Christ is going to reestablish the temple and the palace and all of those practices, they'll be the first people to be worshiping with that group of apostates.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right.
Just the way it is. Is Christ the mediator? Look, you're coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. There's the one that matters, folks.
Amen.
There's the one that matters. That's the Jerusalem God's bringing His nation to.
Yes, sir.
As I told you last Sunday, what did I say? If God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth, then why am I worried about this one?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Why do I think anything really matters about this one other than God moving us to that accomplished end?
Yeah. Yes.
There's also going to be a new Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So how should I think about the one that exists now? It's under the judgment of God.
Amen.
Heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. That's Old Testament Jews, people who were believers before there ever was a Jew.
Yep.
Abraham was the first one, the Hebrew. Look at it. Church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
Amen.
He's already established that new covenant.
Yeah.
Anybody teaches you that God's salvation of Israel is yet to come is wet behind the ears. God's salvation of Israel started before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That new covenant was ratified with His blood when He died on that tree. And God throughout the rest of time and eternity is saving His nation from their sins.
Amen.
To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, don't refuse Him.
That's right.
That speaks. You see, you may have all your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
But if you miss Christ's first advent, you'll know nothing of the glory of the second.
Amen.
Now that's just what, if I could sum it up, Mason, that's me putting it in order. If you don't know the glories of the first advent, you ain't going to experience the glories of the second.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. I may not can tell you how it's all, when it's all going to happen. I can't do it. I used to think I could. Some of you may remember, this has been many years ago. I sat down at my computer and I wrote for days and weeks and months, and I was getting all this lined out. And it was probably about 6 or 7 months, Mason. And I had typed and had page after page and had everything I thought lined up in a row. And you know what? My computer crashed and I lost it all. And now I say, thank you, God. I was tore up back then.
Oh, yeah.
I tore up. Thank you, God, because I knew nothing. I had what other people told me, was taking their word as gospel truth, and was just finding my passages to fit what I wanted. It don't work that way.
Exactly.
And I don't care what a man preaches the gospel, you honor him. Love him.
Yes,
support
sir.
Him in it. But I don't care if he's amillennial, postmillennial, premillennial, or a preterist. He don't have all these ducks in a row.
Exactly.
They ain't nobody got it all figured out.
Amen.
And that's just, the more I read this book, the more I find out I don't have it all figured out.
Exactly.
And none of the systems make it all simple.
No,
they don't. All of them's got some good points.
Yeah.
Because all of them come from the Word of God.
Yeah.
But we all of them got some bad points. Because we put in our own little dreams.
You're right.
Don't we? That's all I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Is Christ the mediator of the new covenant? Yes, he is.
Amen.
Then let us press the claims of him upon men and women.
There you go.
And lastly, has Christ saved Israel and Judah? According to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the promise of his first coming was, he called his name Jesus, for he shall save
Amen.
His people from their sins.
Amen.
The New Testament as a whole says he did.
Amen.
He is, and he shall.
Amen.
And if you read Romans chapter 11, look at it, and I'll close this thing up. Romans chapter 11, and let me find it, verse 17 again. I had to go to it before, but look at it. Romans 7, 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken, notice some.
Yeah.
Not all.
Exactly.
Aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
Every Jew that's one of the elect thanks God for that, don't they?
Yes, sir.
And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches.
Amen.
Don't you boast about those old dirty unbelieving Jews. Yeah, we're a bunch of dirty unbelieving Gentiles
that's
as well.
Right. Yeah.
It's only the grace of God that brought us to where we are in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. In other words, you don't know what you're bragging about.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying. If you do, you don't even know what you're bragging about.
Right.
Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, he doesn't argue that, does he? No. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by what? Here's the one thing. Here's the one place wherein you stand before God, and I stand before God, and any man or woman will ever stand before God, by faith.
Amen.
Your works won't cut the mustard.
Yeah.
Only a God-given faith can.
Amen.
Huh? Look at our brothers and sisters Israel, though.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the church of old.
Yes, sir.
Look at us today.
Yeah.
Huh? Thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. He's talking, don't be presumptuous on God.
Amen.
Don't think God owes you something because of you.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, that's what we've been reading about. What? Severity.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Destruction. Misery. Corruption,
yes, sir.
And Mason, ultimately, damnation.
Yeah.
But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And I tell you what, if God brings them back to faith, he'll graft them right back in again.
Amen.
Isn't that what he goes on to say?
Yeah.
That's his business.
Yes, sir.
Now, men can argue about the details of it all they want to. I've tried to give you at least a rounded definition of it this morning. Sum it up this way. Don't consider the glories of the second advent unless God Almighty satiating your soul with the glories of the first.
Amen. There you go.
You're whistling in the dark if you do.
Yeah, right.
Whether you're Jew or Gentile.
Amen.
Whistling in the dark. Father, be with us. Continue to be with us, Lord, as we eat together and fellowship together. Oh, God, teach us. I'm so ignorant. We're so ignorant. But Lord, you who created all things and ordained all things can give us that which is necessary for the day. Help us through this life in Christ's name. Amen.